invite you to kind of center yourself in God's presence that's here with us this morning. I invite you to just take a deep breath with me. Breathe in and let it all just fall right out. I'll be honest with you. When the computer's not working, the pastor's blood pressure goes up. And so I just need to be reminded that it's not about the computers. And it's not about it always working out perfectly. But it's about being in the presence of the one who is already perfect and is perfecting us. Who doesn't want our show, but wants our hearts. So I thank you, God, for the glitches this morning. For they remind me to rely upon you. God, I don't know what glitches are going on in the lives of the people who walked in here this morning, but I imagine some of us are having technical difficulties. Things this week aren't working out like we thought they would. Maybe we're frustrated with someone, a coworker, a boss. Maybe our kids are driving us crazy. Maybe kids, your parents are driving you nuts. Whatever it is, God, remind us that you're the God in the midst of it. God, today we send out one of our own to do ministry on our behalf in the world. Comfort Heather, encourage her, and raise her up for the ministry that lies ahead of her. And God, lay your hand upon this congregation who is trusting that your hand is in the midst of change, because they are experiencing a lot of it. So comfort us. Comfort them. Encourage them. God, it's been another tough week in our world. We look out at all that's going on around us and we just wonder, will we ever be one? Will we ever be one? God, let us listen to the voices of our brothers and sisters in the street this week. Let us not be quick to judge, but let us be quick to listen to the pain and the frustration that they are sharing, and their desire for justice, for peace, for harmony. God, we got word today that Marcia Duncan, wife of former Pastor Ed Duncan, passed away this weekend. And for all of those that were blessed by the Duncan's ministry, we give you thanks. And God, I, as a pastor who never even met Ed or his wife, I stand on his shoulders because he's passed the baton to me. God, may I pass it on to others as Ed and his family have done for us. As we prepare to be in unison prayer together, God, continue to comfort our spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Together, God of justice, hope of the poor, you offer us freedom in service. We confess that all too often, we remain shackled to our desires, ensnared by our egos, trapped by our pride. We forget the joy of life in service with you. We incarcerate our brothers and sisters, and we build invisible walls around others. We ask your pardon, that we might be messengers of your freedom and workers of your justice. Amen. Words of assurance are borrowed from the Presbyterians this morning. If God's love is so great, why are we afraid to seek forgiveness? God has revealed perfect love to us in Jesus, the living and loving Christ. There is nothing to fear and everything to hope. In Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven.
join me as we pray together the Lord's Prayer?
Why not?
Let's do it together. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You stay right here. I'll intro the theme, and you do the scripture. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're in the middle of a fall sermon series called That's Why. Simply seeking to answer that question each week, of why do we do what we do? 2 weeks ago, we said we do what we do because we want to be a people of hope and a place of hope. Last week, we said we do what we do because we believe the love of Christ and the inclusion in the community of faith still transforms lives. Today, Deacon Caleb will remind us about the freeing word of God's ministry in our midst. And remind us why Christian freedom is why we do what we do. Lead us into the word, sister.
From Romans 6, 15 through 18. So what? Should we sin because we aren't under law but under grace? Absolutely not. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, that you are slaves of the one whom you obey? That's true whether you serve as slaves of sin, which leads to death, or as slaves of the kind of obedience that leads to righteousness. But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you gave wholehearted obedience to the teaching that was handed down to you, which provides a pattern. Now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mary Lou. And thank you for the chance to be up in front of here. Pray with me. God of breath, help me breathe. You've been with me and with us in tougher times than this. Speak through me, that folks may hear your voice despite my words, and that all things might be for your glory. Amen. I have a confession to make. I am a millennial. Maybe you've heard of us. Are also known as Generation Y, as in, why do we care whether a person is gay or straight? Or why do we care what color a person is? Or why do we care if our brother or sister is LGBTQ? Why do we care if that's how it's always been done? Why are we ruining our climate? Why does it cost so much to go to school? Why are there so few jobs when we get out of school with all this debt? And this one I've heard a few times. Why would I want religion when I can be a good person without it? All right, you're allowed to feedback on this. Okay. That was some pretty heavy stuff. Because it's a good question. It's a good question. The church has a history of fighting against social change, of fighting against equal rights for women, for people of color, for LGBTQ sisters and brothers. And on the news, we see religion associated not only with bigotry, but with anti-science, anti-intellectual worldviews, and with whining about oppression, even while our president and vice president and 92% of Congress all identify as Christian. And religion isn't just on the news. Religion's in our churches, in our congregations, where right now there are churches spending down their endowments to keep the lights on in dusty buildings, while there are people with needs on the street. Oh, I know, watch out. It's all right. And there are churches where you get a nasty look if you walk into church with the wrong kind of clothes on. Or if you're holding a coffee. Oh, not in this sanctuary. Or if you don't smell very good. Or maybe if you're in the wrong kind of couple. Or maybe if you're not in a couple at all. Or whatever it is, to many in my generation, the church has a reputation as an insular, self-serving, and judgmental institution. Woo. You may be asking yourself, then why are you here? Why am I here if the church is so bad? Because even with all of our faults, I feel most free when I am singing in church. There's that moment where we all stop talking for once, and our breathing starts to synchronize, and we start to open up a little bit. We start to unveil that part of ourselves that just wants to love and to be loved. There's this moment of breathing together that is intimate, that is vulnerable. My imperfect body moves the air, and those waves come crashing against your body. And in the words of Anne Fernald, sound is touch at a distance. And when we sing together, we not only honor the body that we are, but we push ourselves into the collective body of this community. To have breath is to have life. And in ancient Greek, you'll notice, and I am a word nerd here, I'm going to get all up in this a few times. The word for breath and wind is pneuma. Pneuma is also the word that we use for spirit. Pneuma then is Holy Spirit when we see it in our... You got it up there? Oh, nice. So that same breath that we are sharing is God's presence among us. And why am I telling you this? Maybe it's because I love words. But it's also because when I sing with other people, I sense that spirit. I don't know if you do too. Maybe that's why you're in choir. Maybe that's why you showed up this morning. But in that moment of song, that's where I experience the divine. And we are set free for a moment from those anxieties of life. And we step into this stream of souls that is pouring through history. Like last week, we were singing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, written by one of the founders of Methodism. And there's that second verse. It says, breathe. Oh, breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Now, like a number of the young adults in this who are connected to this congregation already, choirs were an important part of my spiritual education and my growing up. And when I moved to Michigan, as I was about to turn 8, I started in the church choir with our itchy robes and that V that could never be quite straight. You know. And I graduated into the high school choir, and we went on choir tour, and we did musicals. Oh, they weren't very good, but we loved them. Oh, we were part of the church band. I got to play drums in church. It was wonderful, and it was there that I started feeling a little something like, ooh, this music thing. Because when you are an adolescent, and maybe when I am a 31-year-old man, sometimes you got to get a little physical. And you got to get a little bit of beating out some of that energy and that angst that you feel. I don't know if you ever feel angst, but I'll tell you, drums are a good way to get rid of it. Yeah. And drumming is where I started finding my passion. So I started joining everything. I was in the marching band drum line, and the jazz band, and the pep band, and the pit band, and the orchestra, and the symphonic band. Oh, we'll go on. And I was in a punk band, playing really loud. And I was loving this music, but I wasn't feeling like I knew where it was going. I knew what, but not why. And I headed off to arts boarding school, and I got challenged even more. And I headed off to college, and I got challenged even more. And still, I'm feeling, where am I going? So I get a call. And sometimes you get a call from God, and it's down on your knees, like, you know, in the Bible, but I think more frequently in my life, it's been a call from somebody I don't know on the phone. And I got a call. This guy says, "Hey, I'm Tom, and I work at the Wesley Foundation here on campus. And we're the campus ministry for Methodists here at Western. And I hear you make music." So for the next 2 years, I was music director at that congregation. And in case it wasn't clear enough where I was supposed to be headed with my life, a year later, I got a call from some folks in Grand Rapids at a church called Genesis. And they said, "Oh, I hear you do music." So I was music director at both a church in Grand Rapids in the morning and at the campus ministry Sunday nights. It was pretty clear where I was headed now. Because God was using me to offer this joy that I felt to other people. But college, I don't know if it was like this for you. You know, I got there and I thought, "Oh yes, here is the freedom." And I was free from my parents' restrictions and about how late I stayed out and what I ate and what I drank. And unfortunately, I wasn't free from the consequences of those decisions. That is, bills and missed appointments and hangovers. But it's this same situation that we stepped into when Mary Lou read the scripture. Because Paul is writing to this group of folks in the city of Rome, and they've just started a church, and they're really excited. Because they're like, "We found out about this God of love and forgiveness, and this God will forgive anything. It's amazing. So who cares what we do?" And Paul comes in, and he says these words in Greek. He says, "Tion," which isn't terribly helpful for us. It means, "What then?" And in the scripture translation we just had, it was, "So what?" But I think it really translates best as, "Really?" You know what I'm talking about. They're so excited. "Oh, who cares if we sin? Really? Really? You think that freedom from sin is freedom to sin?" And that's an important distinction we're making here, that freedom from is different from freedom to. And when I was a student, I thought that freedom from my parents' restrictions was freedom to do whatever I wanted. And one way to clarify this for ourselves is that in English, we have this one word, free. But in our Romance languages, I don't know if you speak Spanish or French or Italian, but there are two different words that come from Latin roots that are libre and gratis. And libre, like liberty, that's our free speech. And then gratis over here, like gratuity, is like free beer. And these two, back and forth, that there is a real difference between the freedom from having to pay for something and the freedom to make a difference. And this right here is why our millennials are having trouble with our church. Because we're looking for freedom from, and we're figuring it out, and we think that our young folks, "Oh, they just don't like the church because of all the stuff that we do." No, it's actually they're looking for freedom to change the world. But I don't know if you know these stats, but yes, our millennial generation, that's sort of my age to 20-ish, we tend to not go to church, it's true, in organized situations. But compared to other generations, we also have very high rates of giving to charity and volunteering. Because it's not about freedom from the church that's our priority. We just want to be out there doing something. So that's kind of what I was feeling when I was wrapping up college. And I was like, "Oh, I'm going to head to seminary." So I went off to Boston and started studying theology and started studying music. And some people ask me, "Okay, well, do you hope to be a pastor someday?" And I say, "Well, really, I want to be a deacon." And pretty much everyone's face goes as blank as yours just did. Because there's a difference in our tradition of Methodism. We've got these two streams that are working toward ordination. There are a million streams to ministry, and each of you is on one. But we've got these two that we tend to put rubber stamps on. And one of them is called elder. An elder, and I'm not saying Jeff's old. Yes, or grown up, thank you. Well, elder is the stream of ministry that is the pastor. Because that pastor, it comes from another word nerd, sorry, means shepherd, like pastoral scene. He's the shepherd and we are the flock. So we together, he's keeping us safe. He's moving us in the right direction toward water, toward home at night. He also does not own the flock. Yeah, God's in charge of this flock. Then there's this other side called deacon. And that's where I'm moving. I'm currently a provisional deacon in the United Methodist Church. And deacon is not a shepherd. Deacon comes from this other Greek word, diakonos, which is servant. Because there's this story in the book of Acts, and you can look it up in Acts 6. It's the very beginning of what we think of as the Christian church. And they've all gotten together, and there's no Jesus around at the moment. And there's a bunch of old dudes in charge. Not saying that elders are old. But they've got this, they're trying to figure out how to build a community and how to shepherd this flock. And suddenly someone stands up and says, "Hey, you're not taking care of all the old folks like you should." You know, someone gets a little concerned. And the elders say, "All right, well, we're already way too busy. How can we get our community built in such a way that we serve one another?" So they call up seven folks and say, "You are now our servants for the community. Not servants of the elder, but servants for God." So this is what it means to be a deacon. And it's a weird thing to call yourself a servant. Because, as you might have heard Paul say in there, who you serve, they are your master. Jesus said that in Matthew 2. And if you want to figure out who your master is, try going to your calendar. It's funny. You want to take it out right now? Maybe you have your paper one. But I started looking through here. Oh, that's where I'm spending all my time. Or I open up Mint, which is my fun budgeting one. And I see, and it shows me the graph of where I'm spending my money. And okay, so there's rent, and there's, you know, what we give to church, but then there's restaurants. Ooh. What does it say about who I'm serving if I'm giving more of my money time to restaurants than to God's work? You can help me with that. So the question is, who is your master? And I know some of you were watching the kids' time, and you were getting jealous. So can I get a couple volunteers to help pass these out? We got one here. Someone else? All right, thanks, Dave. Oh, we got more, too. We're going to have some fun. All right, here, pass them out for us. And make sure the balcony gets them. So maybe you've seen these before. If not, you saw them in the children's sermon. It's a finger trap. Thank you, Data. If you feel like you're really good at them, try putting your thumbs in. See, we're all moving in that right direction that Jeff started hitting on. That just like that college student, me, and start to pull away. This summer, after I found out that I was coming to Royal Oak, but before actually coming here, I got to participate and lead some worship for an event called the Candidacy Summit. And this congregation sent two folks. They sent Bob Prudhomme and Heather Nowak to go explore and find out more about what it might mean to be called into ministry. Now, we said there are many streams, but you find out when you're at an event like that with a bunch of people exploring what it means to be called that almost every one of us has run away at some point. We find out we've got this call, and we start pulling. Hey, Heather, how long did you pull away? At least 7 years, and she's one of the young ones. All right? We get the idea that we're supposed to do something, and we fight it. And this isn't just people who wind up wearing robes. This is all of us. When you're walking by someone on the street, and you think, oh, I should do something nice. But you pull away. When you're thinking about, oh, what am I supposed to do with my money? What am I supposed to do with my time? Oh, man, I wish I had more time in my calendar. Boy, anybody feel that? You can't raise your hands, can you? Because you have it on your fingers. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I've thought that on a regular basis. Man, I just wish I had more hours in the day so that the responsibilities wouldn't come streaming by so fast. That right there, that's freedom from. We think, oh, I just wish I could be free from all these bills, from all these debts. And God says, no, we're here about the freedom too. We're here, the freedom to change lives. We're about the freedom to change how you interact in every one of those occasions. Maybe you still have to go to that meeting at work, but you have the freedom to decide what self you bring. So that's the question. How is God challenging you, and how can you turn it around and start pushing in? Where's that place where you are pushing in? Because who you serve, they are your master. And I'll tell you, this master is one that sets us free. And there's this hymn that we just sang, and I don't know if you notice all these words, but we're about to sing, sorry. We've sung it in all three services. Make me a captive, Lord. And it is that I sink in life's alarms. You ever feel that way? Like it's just up there when by myself I stand. Instead, imprison me within thine arms, and strong shall be my hand. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen.